often, which very rarely happens when you're in the kitchen anyway, but it's no tram lines. Scotty Gallen is one of our favourites on The Breakfast Club. He was in last week, all last week with Andrew Mays, just keeping the ship steady for the week. He's back again at home in the God's country down at Bowen Heads. Good morning, Scotland.
Morning, Danielson. This is extraordinary scenes that I'm looking at on my computer.
What's extraordinary?
I think, was it Anthony Hudson, our good friend, who said, "I see it, but I don't believe it"? Or who was the famous...
It was Hutto.
I'm looking at my screen and it says you're at a location that I don't believe is actually true. Have you got a backdrop that looks like...
It's a green screen.
I took a photo. I got someone to send me a photo of the back of the studio and just made it my green screen.
When you got in your car and went to Maps, because you forgot where it is.
I did. I actually took a wrong turn this morning. I told Whitey that earlier.
So, Maisie and I have inspired a revolution, the Come Back to Work program in the city of Melbourne.
Well, 25% we're allowed, that says Dan. If you can work from home, you must work from home. So I'm just sticking by the rules. I'm a stickler for the rules. You know that, Scotland.
I know that. And it's good to see our Essendon champion is... last week he was coming in and he didn't get out of his black den. At least he got a light on today. So that's positive, Rammer. Couldn't make it again.
Just hiding, Scotty. Just hiding and keeping safe, as they say. I'm concerned. I'm concerned where Whitey has been over the last 6 months. So I think I'll let others come in close contact with him before I do.
Well, because he'd be the first to get a test. He's the sort of guy who'd be front of the queue to get multiple tests. Have things shoved up his nose. I think that's right in Adam's wheelhouse.
Have you had a test, Whitey? Have you been COVID tested?
Why would I need to have a test if I don't see anyone?
No, I was just asking.
No, or you have had a COVID test.
Yes. I wouldn't be surprised if Scotty, you have one?
Nah, God's country, no. We've had no Rama? Cases ever.
No, I haven't had one. My wife's had a couple though, so yeah.
Oh, no worries.
I'm the only one in this quartet that's had a COVID test.
Yeah, but you weren't sick, you had to have one.
Yeah, but there's 20,000 people a day effectively getting tested. And yeah. None of us apart from me, I'm
a very healthy individual. I don't get sick.
What I do want to know, Scotty, at half, with those 20-odd thousand that get tested or on average per day, they've got some sort of symptoms, I imagine. What are their illnesses that they have? Because if they come back negative as COVID, do they then go get some antibiotics?
I guarantee a lot of people that have got their test have got hay fever. Because if you get hay fever, you get a scratchy throat and whatever else. So this is hay fever season.
It's peak hay fever season.
I'm sure you're also allowed to have the garden variety cold still. I don't think it's just disappeared, has it? It's still capable.
Down enormously.
That's right. We need that bloke on, Dr. Norman Swan.
Who?
Norman Swan?
Is Greg Swan's brother?
No, he's the guy that does the COVID podcast. Oh, the ABC man. He does. He's the guru. No, Tony Blakely on from the.
These words you're just spitting out, they make no sense to me. Who are these people you speak of?
I'm obsessed with all of this.
We've got to remember too, from Whitey's perspective, earlier this year he refused to get a takeaway coffee from across the road because they wouldn't let you in without a temperature test and hand sanitizer.
He said to find another place.
That's what we're dealing with, Scotland. That's what we're dealing with.
Now, Daniel, something concerned me during the week.
Talk to me.
Generally, when you run an organisation, you don't really want your replacement sliding in with a bit of fanfare. Yes. And Kate Simpson suddenly appeared on the radar of the Carlton Women's program.
Yes, assistant coach to the Stars.
I looked at the press release and couldn't find any glowing love from the coach. I'm sensing this is a forced move and you are already reading between the lines.
Well, I actually am.
Can you comment on that?
I'm in all sorts of trouble. When you've got a club legend who takes up one of the coaching jobs, it's
you
not
don't
a recipe
want these types,
for success.
Daniel, no. So, you don't want
Scotty,
them in your wheelhouse. Yes.
Scotty, what I have heard, it's actually a succession plan. Now, Kate and the Carlton Football Club are very much on board. but Daniel is rebelling heavily against it. Heavily.
He's doing a John Worsfold type situation, I think we're heading right into.
No, that's not the case. I've got somebody else earmarked for that role when I sign off, whenever that may be.
Oh, okay. Come on, give us a little exclusive here.
No, I'll let you hang on for, it's going to be 6, 7, 8, 15 years until I take off.
You're that confident, eh?
Until I get sacked in 3 weeks.
We can confirm you were interviewed for the North Melbourne men's job. We can confirm that now, can't we, on air?
No,
it's
we can't.
All good now?
We can't confirm that. We can't confirm that.
The mystery fourth candidate?
Was there three others? Two others, were there?
I've got a question. Oh. A serious question.
How good having Simo as part of the team, just by the way.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Don't back over that.
No, that's fantastic.
That's brilliant.
My question is, and I want a quick answer from the three of you. If you are a football club,
it's a quiz.
Are you entertaining Paddy McCartan, or are you saying, no, that sits uncomfortably with me because of his concussion history?
Scotty?
I'm playing him, definitely picking him. I back in. He's done all the medical research. If the kid says I'm okay, he's a gun talent. It's worth a risk at number 40 on my list.
Rama?
If all his medical tests and assessments and all that come back really positive, he's a number one draft pick. And he's still this side of 25, absolutely. I'm taking him, as Scotty said, number 40 or 44, whatever, on the list. It's he was good enough to be selected number one in a draft. If he can get it all together at some stage, you've got a very good footballer there.
Half?
Pending clearance, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. I don't know why you wouldn't pending clearance. Now, clearly there's a medical concern that has to be signed off on, and that is paramount and the most important thing for him, let alone for the game and the club. And not necessarily do you let him answer that question, that you take that out of his hands. It's got to be signed off by professionals in the field, neurologists and all that sort of stuff.
So how can anyone be confident that he is okay? Because it's not like you get him and club him over the head or something like that to see whether he's got concussion or not. So how do you find out whether he is going to be okay?
Well, they have all these a range of tests available to test people's cognitive function and neurological.
So they wouldn't get like, and I'm being serious here. They wouldn't get like punching bags or stuff like that to see whether another rattle of the head is going to cause problems.
I would doubt it. I don't know. But I would doubt it. Scotty, we wouldn't be seeing any Lee Matthews type Alan Richardson pre-grand final 1990 sort of stuff.
Yes, yeah. I would think you sit down with him, obviously, and you walk through the last 3 years of his life, and clearly there was a period where he couldn't get out of bed, et cetera, et cetera. And then he needs to explain the last 12 months. His experts are clearly telling him you can do it. He's been overseas. So you document all that. Ultimately, be the AFL medical department, because I think it's an insurance issue. It's a safety issue for them as much as the footy club who's taking it. So I think if he says, here's 5 experts around the world, I've cleared all these tests, I feel great, my life's changed from this to this, why can't I play?
See, it's an interesting conversation, because then you look at the other hand with Cade Kolodziejski
retiring.
Well,
that's why I'm asking the question, yeah.
Yeah, so, and you wonder what the medical assessment was of Cade, because he's a star player himself. He was a top 5 pick, I think, as well.
Top 10,
top 10 pick. And, Melbourne gave up a little bit for him. But I'd love to see Paddy play again, because he's gone through a horrible time. There's no doubt about it. You know, the stories and that. I think the photo of him sitting on the outer wing with Simon Lethlane, just watching training. It was a really sad photo of a young man that, you know, had really the football world in front of him a couple of years ago. But, you know, hopefully now that Half's exactly right. If those medical assessments are all approved and he's going back and it's safe for him to go back, a club would be crazy not to take him. He's a number one draft pick. He was picked ahead of Christian Petrarca and others.
Okay, I got that. That's the hard one. I got 2 easier ones for you.
What's your take?
I would pick him up because I don't think you have to give up much for him. but I would then go through a series of tests.
Well, when you do that beforehand.
No, you can't.
You can't pick him up and do it. Well, surely you do that before.
No, well, you do it before as well. Absolutely. You don't just pick him up and then do the test later. I'm still a bit concerned about it. I think there's a bit of a duty of care around him as a person and not as an athlete.
No doubt. But that's why you get the medical people involved.
That's right. But I'm not sure whether... Again, that's what I'm saying. How do you test that sort of thing?
But how do you... Like, you could sit there and say... And because of your history, and we're not quite sure what's going to happen in the future, the AFL will say, we're not going to license you to play. We're not going to give you the registration to play because something might happen.
Yeah.
But you can also flip that and say, well, something might not happen and I might be fine. So, I mean, once you've been cleared medically and the expert's doing it, I don't think there's any... If he wants to, Billy Kay doesn't. Like Justin Clark, we spoke to a couple of weeks ago from Brisbane. He had his troubles. He didn't want to play anymore and wasn't encouraged to do so. This seemingly is a different scenario with Paddy.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I...
The interesting part there, what you're saying, Half, is they might not insure Paddy to play.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, see...
And that will be a problem.
I'm not sure if you realise, Half and Rama particularly, but I think Essendon need a forward. Paddy McCartan might be a good option for Essendon, but as I said, I think the duty of care to the person, I think it's a bit more difficult than just say, give him another chance and see what happens. But anyway, the other ones...
Do you want Essendon to pick him up?
What's that?
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that...
Just Essendon again? Do we get to Essendon somehow again?
They need a forward.
And they haven't got one. 2 metre Peter.
Yeah. So just yes or no answers. Does Heath Shaw get another chance somewhere? Rama?
No.
Scotty?
No.
No.
Then no? Okay. Lewis Jetta?
Yes.
How old's Lewis?
Lewis is a bit older than we think. Because he played in the 12 grand final win with Sydney, and he was already taken as an overage player. So
31.
I get 31.
Yeah, I take him leg speed. Yes.
Yep.
Please. Well, he was Gold Coast or somewhere like that.
He's on the fringes of the West Coast team, wasn't he? Through the back end of the last season. If I'm a middle of the road or a team that's emerging, I would take him along. Yep.
Okay, and the last one, Magic Door.
Big Madge. Rama, you can't talk here.
No, I can't.
Oh. Yes, you can. Pump him up. Sell him, Rama.
Absolutely. Because if a club needs a key defender or a ruckman, Madge is the person. He proved that when he played as a key defender, he was elite at that. He was rated elite by Champion Data. So if a club is looking for that big key defender, intercept marker, we heard Chris Fagan talk the other day about the most important position on the field at the moment is an intercept marker, and Madjak proved that he could do that at an elite level.
I'm probably going to give him another chance. I mean, everyone's on a rookie list nowadays, so why not? He's nearly old enough. He's 30 or something, isn't he?
Half?
I would give him a go, yeah. Yep, I'd give him a go. Again, for the opportunities that we'll face for these players, you're coughing up nothing and you're paying minimum chips. At least you know what some level of performance you're going to get from these guys. I would give him another go. You playing that game?
I would, because I think he was played out of position this year. And if you actually look back at his last good full year of football... he was shaping to be quite an important player in that key defensive post. He's quite similar, and for obvious reasons, to Alia. Alia was becoming this really quite a good key position defender. Then they tried to play him in other positions, and he wasn't the same player. And I think Port Adelaide bringing him in, he'll go back and play that key defensive post where the game is ahead of him. And I reckon that's where Magic plays his best football as well. So, who knows? I just think that that's what's going to play out over the next 3 days. There are going to be, and it's already been happening, obviously, but footy clubs are looking at these guys and going, because they're all tempting propositions.
Yep.
What will they do? Will they be left on the shelf or will they get picked up?
The only concern, I think, if I'm one of those players, the only concern would be if there are... reductions in the list.
Yeah.
They just might not say, we've seen what you've got. We've been there sort of with similar players and we'll invest in kids who haven't the opportunity, who we see more upside than perhaps what you've got.
That sounds like a rookie list, what it was set up for, Daniel.
Well, that's true. But if you're 176 years old, you get a gig on the rookie list these days.
We'll Has talk anyone about... explained this late rule change to me? Can we'll someone, another like conversation Adam Remenescus?
About that after 8 o'clock, Scotty. The news is just upon us very shortly with Johnny Bowden. Off the SMS, this is the regards to the Paddy McCartan question you raised, Whitey. How do they hit him? Test him. Hit him over the back of the head? No, we don't encourage that. The next big hit could be a disaster. This could end very badly, says Jezzer and Wang. But absolutely, but it might not be too. We would all love to see him play again, but nobody wants to see and get concussion again. See him get concussion again. Spot on. And then this one, sometimes you need to make a decision for the benefit of another person. It shouldn't be on Pat's choice, says another SMSer. And that's what I said before to you guys, that this decision should be totally taken out of his hands.
Correct.
This is from experts, medical experts, neuropsychologists, neurologists, all that sort of stuff, who are doing the assessments. This is not a question you ask Paddy McCartan, do you want to play? Because we know the answer to that. This has got to be taken out of his hands because it's much bigger, it's much more important than just a game of footy, as we all know. So we'll see what happens over the next couple of days. But
this is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
Certainly is, and it's lovely to have your company on a Friday morning. It's going to be hot in Melbourne town, 33 degrees, says Johnny Bowden, through the morning. And Rama, where he's going, up at Echuca, 39, he was telling us earlier this morning.
In a caravan park.
In a caravan park.
Social Whitey, distancing. Whitey, you will survive, mate. Trust me. Just book.
I will survive because I'm not going into caravan park.
Emma and the kids, just over summer. Just book a caravan. There's nothing wrong with it. It's good fun. It's good,
Adam,
honest fun.
Rama, that means you have to generally talk to people you don't know.
Yeah,
and there's greetings.
Correct.
There's handshakes and kisses on cheeks.
No, well, that's the greatest thing of coronavirus, that we'll never see kisses on cheeks again.
Oh, it's coming back. It's back.
No, it won't be back.
No,
it
it's
won't
back.
Be back.
It is back.
It'll come with a rush, Whitey. It'll just, everyone will want to do it.
Yeah, that's my only concern. If it is allowed, the over-enthusiastic nature of the kiss alone will go to whole new levels.
Yeah, that's, well, we were talking about this last night, in fact. It's back.
Sure you would, because you're an exponent of it.
Well, I'm a crusader. I'm leading the charge to get it back.
You're a real hugger. Love a hug.
I'm a kiss hello hugman, absolutely. Don't worry about that. Even for you, Rama. Like, you're a handsome man.
Yeah,
I
embrace it. I actually embrace it from you. It's perfect.
So we were talking about last night that the lack of connection. People are really keen to get some sort of contact back in their life, Righty. So this is... You're in trouble, is what I'm sensing from the conversation we had last night.
I hope not. Hey, do you know that the international cricket summer is starting today?
Yeah. There's a cricket match on
there
today.
There's a cricket match on today. There are 3 one-day internationals. Then there are 3 T20 internationals against India. Not on free-to-air television, only on Fox Sports. But the season actually starts today, which is as late as it's ever been.
Keith Miller Green.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. It's an interesting one, actually, Scotty, because he is bowling in the nets and bowling quite fast. So I would be surprised if he doesn't get a chance at some point through the tournament, particularly considering the fact that Mitchell Marsh is obviously not around. It does give them the chance to give him a look at some point.
So, Whitey, what are you expecting? Obviously, you're probably best to talk about the upcoming Australian cricket summer. What are you expecting from the Aussies this time round? We're probably past the stage now where they're through all the South Africa stuff and the team's more settled now. What are you expecting?
I think the Australians will win the Test series quite comfortably. Yeah. The T20s and the One Day Internationals, I think, are very close. Not having Rohit Sharma is going to make it a lot more difficult for India because he's arguably the best white ball batsman in the world, based just purely and simply on numbers. They have, though, got Kohli for the one day, and they don't have him for the test matches outside one, but one of four, it's only 25%, obviously. I think the problem for Australia is that they have not got that connectedness. You know, some have been in the IPL. They've quarantined. They're actually meeting up with their teammates today, the day of the game. And then the other group have come off Sheffield Shield cricket or no cricket at all, or club cricket, essentially. So I think that the preparation would be favouring India because they've all come from the IPL. They've spent 2 weeks together training in the nets. So I feel that their preparation would be better. So I'd be leaning towards India in the white ball and definitely Australia in the red ball.
So I'll ask this question to all three of you. Usually at the end of the summer, we're talking about somebody or something that's happened. What player will we be talking about? Will it be Pekowski? Will it be Green? Will it be Labuschagne has come on and, you know, he's nearly, we're talking about him in the same breath now as Steve Smith, as the way he bats. What will we be talking about at the end of this summer, all three of you?
Good question.
It'll be Pekowski, and it'll be because they didn't play him in the first three tests because Dave Warner thought Joe Burns was a good bloke. And then in the last test, he makes 350 or something on debut, and we go, wow, why didn't we pick him earlier? That's what's going to happen.
I don't mind betting that'd be far from the truth. I reckon that's exactly what'll play out. Scotland, with Bukowski's situation, what will we be talking about? Good question. I think there will be a conversation about the emergence of the next gen. Whitey, Rammer would probably be where I would see the theme going.
Yeah, if they play them.
If they play them. Because I reckon they will at some stage.
I'm not sure.
At some stage?
They're scared.
See, Green won't play. Green's not playing today. Green might play some white ball cricket.
He's not playing today.
No. No, he won't play today. But, I mean, they're sort of Friday, Sunday, mid next week. The first two in Sydney, the next one in Canberra. I'd be surprised if he doesn't get a go through at one point. But in the test matches, I don't think he'll play. He wouldn't play Adelaide. I don't think he'll. He might play Melbourne. The best chance, I think, is in Sydney if they were to play two spinners and Green could play as the number six bat and be the third seamer to give them the chance to play Lyon and Swepson. And then I don't think he'd play the Gabba. So it's just a question of the whole thing is around Pekowski and Burns. And, you know, if Burns plays the first, well, he's going to then play the second and probably the third. You can't just give him one go. So that Australia A game, which could potentially be a spot on the line, whoever does better in that game might be the one that gets the gig. I'm not sure. I think one of the interesting talking points will actually be away from the Australia India series, because they go to South Africa straight afterwards. Will they all make themselves available? Because of being in this bubble as they are and as they have been now for quite some time, where they'll go, you know what, don't want to go to South Africa. Don't feel safe, or I've been away from my family for too long. I'm not going to say it's going to become like a rebel tour, but there might be a scenario where almost like an Australia A team ends up playing potentially test matches in South Africa, because there is an international tour going at the same time in New Zealand in short form cricket.
I don't have a lot of sympathy for the IPL guys. I mean, that's their choice to go get millions if they're whinging about having to go quarantine to quarantine. I mean, that's your choice, boys, and you made a lot of money out of doing it.
Well, Justin Langer was talking about, I heard yesterday, he won't probably see his family now till April, just with how much cricket is going to be jammed in through that period of time. The one question I wanted to throw to you guys again is, will we be talking about an Australian fast bowler being the next captain of our cricket team? When will they hand that over, Whitey? When will Tim Payne hand the reins over? Will it be Pat Cummins?
My feeling is that Tim Payne will captain this summer and he'll do the Ashes, and then that will be it. So based on that, there's a hell of a lot of cricket to be played between now and then to determine whether they go to a Cummins or go back to a Smith. I think they're the only options. The third option for me is Travis Head. So Travis Head's got this summer and the next summer to prove that he's a bona fide test player. That would be my answer.
Yep. No, I think that's fair. I think you'd do the Ashes as well.
Another question for you, Whitey. Out of Head and Wade, which one will have potentially be on the outer at the end of the four tests? Because one of them, you think, will slide away.
I back Travis Head in over Matthew Wade because he's a long-term proposition. Now, Matthew Wade has... I think Matthew Wade's a real fighter, and I think he has... I understand why he has been playing in test matches, because he made runs. And even playing test cricket, he has made runs. But the reality is that one of Head and Wade is vulnerable when they want to play Green as a legitimate additional medium pace. Oh, he's not medium fast. He's fast. So now he's fit, it does make one of those two vulnerable. And based on ages and based on a few other things, leadership, etc., moving forward, I think they will go with Head over Wade if it's a 50-50 call. And it is, because both of them have done about the same.
Yep. I think it's got to be head over weight, surely. Surely. And we find our way around that system. Your numbers were right, Whitey, by the way, just coming through via the social media channels. It is the 28th consecutive day of zero new cases reported, zero lives lost, and there was just under 10,000 tests yesterday in Victoria. So by definition, this is epidemiology definition, coronavirus is eliminated in Victoria.
Correct.
That's by definition.
Until they start coming in planes again.
Well, I think there's some serious testing would suggest it's not exactly eliminated. Just
well, that's right. See,
but
yeah,
it's
so
interesting.
So the last thing I will say on the Tim Payne scenario, Rama, and this is something that I reckon Alex Carey has to be really careful of. I reckon at some point soon, Alex Carey is going to have to make a bit of a decision. If he wants to be the next test wicketkeeper, my concern with that is that if he keeps playing IPL and keeps sort of focusing on white ball cricket, he might miss the boat because he's not young. And, you know, Tim Payne kept really well through the Shield season but didn't make a lot of runs. Had Alex Carey played those four Shield games and got himself a couple of hundreds and kept really well, that conversation would have started about how long is Payne going to stay on for. But at the moment, Alex Carey's not putting up numbers in red ball cricket to say that it's time for a change because he didn't play any. And so even going into next summer, now, he was unlucky with the IPL being pushed to a later start, Alex Carey, but there were other Australian cricketers that said, you know what, I'm not playing in the IPL. So I think that's definitely changed in the last 12 months, I reckon, the commentary around Carey definitely being the next, to now it's like all of a sudden Josh Inglis, his name's being mentioned a bit because he's been doing well, and a couple of other wicketkeepers. And I think that's what's keeping Payne going even longer because he's not doing anything poorly. But I'm sure Tim would like to be making a few more runs.
He's the best keeper, isn't he?
Absolutely he is. Yeah. And I think he's an excellent leader.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that. In fact, I would say of all the captains of recent times, he is the one that you would stand behind.
Absolutely.
More than any of the others.
And there's two parts to it, Half. There's the tactical nous and there is the leadership. And he's... And man leadership.
Man management.
Yeah, man management. But just the leadership that he has shown to bring people together has been exceptional. Is he the best tactical captain? Maybe not. But he's absolutely the right man to be captaining Australia at the moment, without a shadow of a doubt.
If you listen to him talk through press conferences and any time he's in the media at the moment, he's very humble, the way he talks about the team and himself and the way he wants to play. But there's still that hard edge. There's still that we're not going to take a backward step where, you know, we're not going to be intimidated. So I love that about Tim Payne. He's really, you know, Australian cricket was in a really, really dark spot when he obviously took over after what happened in South Africa. But he's been this unbelievable calming influence to this Australian team. But also without taking away the best way Australians play cricket, and that's hard.
Yeah, and that's the extra string to his bow that's keeping the conversation away from him as to whether he's good enough because of his leadership. I mean, as I said, from a batting perspective, I think he should do better based on his skill set. But that, you know, that is what it is. But because there's other guys that are starting to make quite a few runs. I mentioned Inglis before. And you know, even from a Victorian perspective, Harper and Gotcha are two good keepers. But his leadership can't be questioned. It just can't be. And when you put that together with his excellent glove work, it shouldn't be a conversation.
It all kicks off
today.
He's got
a good sense of humour too.
Yeah, he's got the personality.
Front bar last night, he was very, very good.
He's got personality. He's not afraid to be himself. And this is what we talk about a lot with leaders and coaches and captains in sport. Too often, Scotty, I reckon there's this desire to be this perfect human, this eloquent speaker,
this beacon
of all that is good in the world. If you're just yourself, you're not in those positions because you're a goose. So that's pretty much taken out of your hands, that part of it. If you're just yourself and you're allowed to show that side of you, then you get, more often than not, you get a great response from the sporting public and your members, your supporters and all that sort of stuff, because you're not afraid to just be comfortable in your own skin and be yourself. And people respond to that, let alone teammates, but just the general public respond to that.
Mm.
The last thing
I'll say, because we have got the white ball games first, I'm interested in David Warner a lot this summer. I just wonder whether he has still got the edge He talks a lot about his family and missing his family and all these sorts of things and whether he'll become a part-time player or a freelance T20 player. He had an excellent summer last year, obviously, with his 300 and whatever against Pakistan. But against India and England, I think these will be his last two summers in international cricket. But has he still got the edge? Because he needs the edge. If he doesn't have the edge, he just becomes another player. He needs to... So I'm going to be really interested in watching him through these first three one-day games particularly, coming off the IPL and all these sorts of things, just how he's going.
Well,
he needs to play well for Australia to win, obviously.
Yeah, but he's always bullied attacks in Australia. Like, his record in Australia is unbelievable.
Yeah, this isn't about... But this is a mental... Has he got the mental... Has he still got the mental edge to be that combative type?
Well, it kicks off today at 2 p.m. I think it is. Check your local guides at the SCG, Australia and India, the first of the 3-1 days. And did you see, just while we're talking cricket before we get to the break, the collapse of the Brisbane Heat last night?
6 for 14, Daniel. That's a setback.
Well, I think it was 6 for 12. I think it was even worse than that. 6 for 12. The game was effectively over. The Thunder set him a target of 143. And the Heat in reply at one stage were 4 for 85. And then they were 5 for 119, all that for 131. See, they lost 6 for 12 to really vomit all over themselves and cost themselves a chance to get another victory in the WBBL, which means that the Thunder take on the Melbourne Stars on Saturday in the final of the WBBL. We'll clearly be barracking for the Melbourne Stars, but I don't think the Thunder... midway through that that game, well, Whitey, were thinking that they would be busy on Saturday.
No, it was they needed, I think it was 29 off 36 balls with six wickets in hand. But interestingly, the collapse started or sparked by two runouts.
Horrible runouts.
They were horrible runouts. And it just spiraled from there.
The pressure of runs on the board. They've been talking about it in cricket for years. Runs on the board makes a very difficult chase for teams that are fragile. And we saw that last night. So well done to the Thunder. But good luck to the Stars in the final on Saturday night, Remo.
And this is quite amazing, Half. Scotty Gullen's fallen asleep on our Zoom call, but he's still talking.
I know. I don't know what's happened here, gentlemen. It's a good angle, too.
It's a horrible angle, and we're going to do something about it during the break.
You can't take photos of that and post them anywhere, Adam White. That's illegal.
How'd you know I did that when you can't?
I can see you. I can also see me frozen.
We'll be taking lots of photos and spreading it far and wide. 21 past 8, back with more shortly on The Breakfast Club. Scotland, what are you hearing about this James Frawley situation? Because we learned about a month ago, maybe even a bit longer now, I can't remember, that he had retired from the AFL football after a great career with the Melbourne Football Club and as a premiership player with the Hawks. And all of a sudden he pops up yesterday and he's a St Kilda player. What the hell's happened there?
I know. I mean, I'd love a conspiracy theory and to say that he faked it with Hawthorn and then didn't quite sign off the right papers and just got delisted rather than retired. But I think Hawthorn had probably had their time with him and St Kilda got in his ear and good on him. Talked him into it.
Were you surprised by that, Whitey?
Yes and no. I was surprised, actually, when he initially retired because I still thought that he was young enough to keep going. But
32, just for those playing.
Yeah, yeah. I look a little bit surprised. I mean, Hawthorn surprises me full stop. I'm still a bit confused where they're at. So yeah, because it does leave them. Once they wanted Hardigan, that was going to make it hard for Frawley, wasn't it? It was almost like a bit of a decision that maybe we don't want Frawley anymore, and we're going for because he's not a lot younger, Hardigan.
He's 27. He's 27, Hardigan.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's not like he's a 22-year-old. He's 27.
Yeah, but the key defenders
with Kyle.
Kyle Hardigan.
Did he get a 3-year deal or something? So he wasn't wanted at Adelaide and gets a 3-year deal to go somewhere else.
Well, no, I think he's
a fringe defender.
Oh no, I don't think he's a fringe defender, Hardigan. I think this was a situation where it was potentially going to be a free agency scenario, and they ended up making a trade. Is that right, Rammer?
No. Adelaide were going offering him 1 year, I believe, with a trigger, and Hawthorn offered him a 3-year deal. So it's a no-brainer decision for Kyle to move clubs. So but on the Chip Frawley one, on James Frawley one, you ask if it is a surprise, Half. Well, they have got experience now at both ends of the ground. They went after Sean McKernan to help out Membry and King. as sort of some depth there through that position of the ground. They've also got Ryder and Marshall, which they obviously use down there at the moment as well. But then at the other end of the ground, they wanted some backup for Carlisle. Like they've put Carlisle on a one-year deal. They've probably got Frawley on a one-year deal. So, you know, those two guys will potentially compete for a position. But at the same time, their bodies have probably let them down a little bit over recent times. So they St Kilda needed to make sure they had some depth in that position.
Well, they've done that, and they did say yesterday, a comment which I read with interest, we don't want to lose a game that we shouldn't have to because of, what did they say? Because we don't have coverage in a certain position. So they've, just to your point, Rammer.
They're talking about the Richmond game. Yeah, they're talking about the Richmond final. So Carlisle obviously didn't play that game because he went home for the birth of his child. And they felt like they didn't have a defender that could come in and play the role.
Yeah. Hey, Scotty, I want to throw to you about the test because I know it's something you've been covering in the Herald Sun this week.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I think there's been some more information that's been pushed out to players overnight about when it might start and all these sorts of things. But as Victoria celebrates 28 days with no coronavirus cases, we've got a situation in New Zealand where the Pakistan team have arrived. Yes. Six of them have coronavirus. Now, two of them have been deemed as of having it, having had it, not having got it at the moment. Past tense versus current tense, which I've completely stuffed up. But two Pakistan players went to a cafe.
Coffee's important, mate.
So this is the thing about the sensitivity around this from an Australian Open perspective, about players coming out and how it'll all work and what we're prepared to sort of put at risk, I guess.
Yeah, timing's not great. I'd suggest Adam would be my first response. I mean, they want to get them over here, get them in a bubble, which worked at the US Open and others where they train and play at Melbourne Park and go to their hotel and that's it. But as we just heard from you with our Pakistan friends, a little wander down the street, they don't think I need some fresh air to get a new coffee. How you enforce them not leaving that bubble, I'd be very concerned about. Because, you know, Pakistan's what, 30 or touring party of 20 or 30? We're talking probably 500 to 1,000 people coming in.
And that's the difference. It's a team environment where everything is supposed to be controlled versus everyone playing as individuals with their coaches and potential physios and all that sort of thing. It's impossible to control.
It's high risk, but I think it's going to happen. I mean, for the economy, for everything else, I think the government will ensure this event happens, push it back to February 1 and just pray, basically, that the players do the right thing and they have the right protocols. Well, but I think the thing will happen.
I've got an idea, Whitey. What about we put them all down at the Rosebud Country Club? There's a couple of tennis courts down there. You can keep them all in the same area. They can practice. They can do what they want. You know, rather than trying to put them in a city hotel, nice city hotel where they're going to want to get out, put them in a resort down in the Mornington Peninsula where there's 6, 7, 8, 9 tennis courts there where they can actually practice still.
You'd be better going to Cobram, go beautiful grass tennis courts up there, or Yarrawonga.
Playing on grass tennis courts.
Staying in Rammer's caravan park. Away you go.
You've got to get yourself
a crazy, but it's crazy if they think they're going to get all these tennis players and their coaches and their physios and all whatever into a hotel and they're going to be able to practice somewhere. What they're going to be a tennis court on the roof. They're going to play. They're going to set up Crown.
Crown they would be able to.
Yeah, but the Crown aren't going to do that because they've got plenty of guests coming through that time of the year. So it's got to be one of these, you know, these coastal country clubs or country clubs where there's multiple tennis courts where they can play there.
What's a country club?
country club.
It's really deep in the country.
A country,
it's like
country club
drive from Melbourne.
Imagine Roger Federer at the Rosebud Country Club.
Oh, he'd love it.
Country club.
He likes golf too. He's got 36 holes down there to play as well.
Oh, it's a beautiful place.
Beautiful
it's
place.
A mecca.